Praise the Lord. Also want to let you know that there are eggs in the foyer. Yes. Please take eggs home with you today. If you don't eat eggs, take them to somebody who does eat eggs. There are plenty out there. They came from our food pantry. For those of you who don't know, we do have a food pantry twice a month, headed up by Bob Kidwell and crew, and they give out food from 8:30 to 10:30 at the food pantry the second and fourth Saturday of each month. And so we were able to get an oversupply of eggs. They are small eggs, so you're going to need to eat four or five or so at least at a time. So take enough for you to get some eggs. Amen. All of you that are getting ready to bake your pumpkin pies and your pumpkin rolls, you're going to need about six of them per pumpkin roll. So double up. Amen. Amen. So we thank the Lord for his bounty. Amen. You just never know what kind of blessing you might get when you come to church. You come, and the Lord will bless you spiritually, and then you leave, and the Lord will bless you with eggs. So there you go. And if you know somebody that needs a dozen eggs or two dozen eggs or whatever, if you know somebody that's in need that could use some eggs, please take eggs with you when you go. Amen. We want those boxes to be emptied today, if possible. Amen. Amen. I just feel the presence of the Lord already in the house. Amen. There's just something refreshing about his presence and his anointing and his reminders to us. When I hear that song, it's just a reminder to me of the faithfulness of the Lord, so that no matter what's on my mind, I begin to shift my thoughts from negativity to the positive things that we know to be true of us. Amen. How easy it is for our mind to get drugged down with negative thoughts. Amen. Am I in the house by myself today? It's so easy sometimes to get drugged down on negative thoughts. And yet when I come into the house of the Lord and I begin to sing about his faithfulness, and I begin to remind myself that fear is not my future, but he is. That heartbreak's not my story, that he is. Hallelujah. And I begin to sing of his faithfulness. How many know the psalmist David had something? He had an insight to something, because he would begin to say, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Our soul speaks of our mind. And he would begin to encourage himself, and then he would say, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Or why are you discomfited? Hope thou in the Lord." And he would start talking to himself. Anybody ever had to give yourself a talking to? Amen. I had to give myself a talking to sometimes. And sometimes I don't even listen to myself, but I still give myself a talking to, right? Hallelujah. I got to talk to somebody who understands me, right? Somebody's on my level that knows what's going on. But sometimes I have to encourage myself in the Lord. Ephesians says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Yeah. You got to speak to yourself sometimes, and you got to declare what the word says is true of you. Amen. So that in every circumstance, in every situation, God is a very present God in the time of trouble or in the time of peace. And he is a faithful God. So I'm thankful this morning for the encouragement of the word. I'm thanking for the worship. But I am so very thankful for anointing. Amen? The anointing is what breaks the yoke. It's what penetrates the soul. It's the essential oil. It is the, if those of you who know about essential oils, there's an oil for everything. You know how there's an app for everything? There's an oil for everything. Hallelujah. But how many know I'll take the Holy Spirit anointing oil over any oil anytime? Because it is able to penetrate the mind and the heart and the joints and the soul and bring refreshing. You know, I've always said one of the most powerful things about David. I mean, what do we think about when we think about David? the giant killer, right? We always think, oh, David the giant killer, and that's pretty big. That's pretty good. That's pretty powerful. But I want to tell you, I think the most powerful thing about David was his harp. His slingshot, it was good. But how many know with the harp, he wrote most of the book of Psalms. With his harp, he went into the company of Saul and began to play worship music, and evil spirits started to go. Hallelujah. He understand the power of worship. He understand the power of connection. He understand the power of the Holy Spirit, that when you began to sing, do you know you can't sing and complain at the same time? You can't whine and worship at the same time. Amen. Sometimes we got to choose what comes out of our mouth, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. We got to speak it out sometimes and declare it to be true. Amen. So I'm thankful for what the Lord has already done amongst us in our service and in our lives today. Amen. Amen. We have been doing a series called Planted. Thankful for those who covered last week while we were in conference in Rocky Top. We had an awesome time. The word was great. The dance team did an amazing job, and it was just a time of refreshing. And so we thank the Lord for what he did there and also what he did here, and for those who spoke over this house and did worship for us. Amen. Planted. The power of being planted. And we've been talking about the parable of the sower. And some things that I felt like the Lord dropped in my heart concerning the parable of the sower. Sometimes we look at the parables and we think, how does that parable fit in to a grace mindset, a new covenant, new kingdom translation? Amen? And so Jesus comes along and he begins to tell them the stories, and he tells them in parables. He tells them in story form. He tells them so that there is understanding to some, but to others their eyes are closed and they could not see what Jesus was trying to say. In Colossians 2, 6 through 7, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." How many want to abound in the things of the Lord and abound in thanksgiving? Amen? It talks about being rooted and build up and established. We did a series back earlier in the year about roots. And man, in that series, I found so many amazing pictures of roots of trees. Some of them where the water had washed them out along the shore, and all that was holding them in there was a root system. Amen? Where we place our roots, where we are planted, matters. Amen? What we cause to be our root system, our foundational beliefs, our foundational thoughts. How many are thankful that their roots and their foundation is Jesus? Amen. That we are rooted and grounded and established in the faith, as we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In the Passion Translation, it says it like this: "In the same way you received Jesus our Lord and Messiah by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him." I mean, you know, a lot of times the tree absorbs what they need by what they are rooted in, right? So it says, "For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him." I like that where it says, "infused with strength." They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One of my favorites. Hallelujah. Those who wait, who rely upon, who their focus upon the Lord shall renew their strength. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I like that word, all. I want to read that again. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Hallelujah. We hear that scripture quoted a lot. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. If we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. And I believe in a principle of sowing and reaping. I also believe in the principle that he was the seed that is sowed into the ground, and a lot of what I'm reaping right now is what he sowed. Aren't you thankful for that? How many of you can say in here today, I'm thankful that I have not reaped everything I have sowed? Amen. Because there's a lot of times if we reaped everything that we sowed or everything that was coming to us, woe is me. Amen. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, when our heart is fastened on him and sealed with him, I'm so thankful that today I am reaping what he sowed. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. How many know Jesus was talking about himself? He was the seed sown into the ground. And except there be a death, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. How many know in planting seeds, there is a death process that happens in it, which basically is when the hard outer shell begins to bust open. And that part is left behind so that something new, a sprout, can come forth out of that. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, we think about, I am not a landscaper or a gardener by any means. I love it, and I wish I was better at it, but I told you I planted hostas this year, and the deer ate them. I had them before, and the deer didn't eat them, but Georgia said, Nana, did you put Irish Spring soap out there? I said, I did this time. And it worked before, but this time something had teeth marks in it and carried away my Irish soap. Like, what in the world, right? But how many know we can sow seed into the ground, and there is a process of growth that happens when the elements begin to come together and that seed begins to burst open and something new begins to grow out of that. How many know that's what happens when we give our heart to the Lord? It is the seed of Christ being sown into the earth that when it begins to burst open, it starts to bring forth new life. How many know you are not you are a new creation. You are not the same old person that you used to be. You are regenerated. You got new genes. And they're not Levi genes, because Levi genes are after the old priesthood, the old order, but you got genes after the order of Melchizedek. I mean, and they're the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. And so that process of growth begins to happen in us, and we begin to encounter the goodness of the Lord. I want to go to Matthew 13, and we're going to read the parable again this morning. And I thought maybe that I would finish this up this morning, but that's probably not going to happen. So we might have to have part two again next week, but that's okay. We'll just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when I hear your belly growl, I will know it's time to quit. How about that? I know all y'all chewing peppermint gum, and now your bellies will be growling, and you'll be ready to go eat here in just a little bit. Hallelujah. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it with all the people, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the religious leaders of that time, the scribes and the Pharisees. Those have not been given to them because having eyes to see, they did not see. Having ears to hear, they did not hear because they refused and rejected the words that Jesus spoke. If you remember in Luke chapter 4, one of the most popular sermons that Jesus ever preaches, when he goes into the temple, he goes into the synagogue, and he said, as was his custom, they handed him the book of Isaiah. And he begins to stand up in the synagogue in his house with his scrolls of Isaiah. And he begins to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he begins to say such amazing, powerful, incredible things. And you'd think that revival would break out and they would begin to shout and say, man, that's good preaching right there. And he sat down and he closed the book. And he said to them, this day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they all began to say, wait a minute, aren't you Joseph's son? Weren't you born in Nazareth? Nothing good ever comes out of Nazareth. Weren't you born in Berkeley Springs? What's your last name again? Who is your daddy? Wait a minute. You are Joseph's son, and yet you say such things. And they rejected a lot of what he was saying because of the vessel who was saying it. I submit to you this morning that sometimes we miss what God wants to do because we think it's going to come in a package wrapped with a bow and God's going to deliver it on your front step. But it may be the person in the grocery store. It may be the person in the doctor's office. It may be somebody that comes along to you and starts to say a word and you say, wait a minute, this is not by chance. We were in the parking lot of the Holiday Inn in Clinton, Tennessee. And we're coming down, we're there for the women's conference. We come down out of the elevator. This man gets on the elevator with us, and he says, so what are you ladies? One man, all these women in elevator. He was a very brave man. He got on the elevator with us, and he said, so what are you ladies doing today? They said, well, we're heading out for maybe a little bit of shopping or something, you know, a little bit. And, you know, and he said, well, you know, is that why you're here in town? We're like, no, we're here in town because we're here for a women's conference. He said, oh, I thought you were here for the Miss America pageant. We all gave him a dollar tip and that, no, just kidding. He said, I thought you were here for the Miss America pageant. I said, no, this is, you know, we're here for a women's conference. And he said, oh, okay, well, you know, what church is that? And what do you do? Long story short, I'll try. He begins to ask us, well, can I ask you what faith you are? Can I ask you what denomination? Can I ask you? And he began to just open his heart to us. And he began to say, he said, well, I was raised as Catholic. And he said, but He said, I've always believed in God, and I've always believed in a higher power, something bigger than myself. He said, but I envy people like you that are strong in their faith and have really been able to make that connection with the Lord. And he just began to share about his history and his background in that. And he said to us, what would you say to a man like me? And I began to tell him our testimony and a story of how my dad was an alcoholic. My mom was raising 6 kids. And I said, the power of God in a Nazarene church brought my mom to salvation in a room where my grandmother had sang a song to my dad and said, Daddy, you can't go with us. You can't be our daddy anymore. We're going on to be with Jesus. And that night in his bed, he said, there was no thunder, no lightning. He said, but I felt the power of God come into my bedroom. And he said, I simply said, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. And I said, because of that, sir, God has raised up our family as pastors and apostles and evangelists that have taken the gospel all over the world. All I can tell you is there is a God who will meet you where you are, that if you cry out to him and you say, God, I don't even know how to do this church thing. I don't know how to receive you. I don't even know what all this means, but if you save me, I will serve you. And we begin to tell our testimony to him. And he got ready to leave. I said, can I pray with you? He said, absolutely. And right there in the Holiday Inn Express parking lot, we prayed over a man named Tom for the power of God to just show up everywhere he went in his journey. He was heading to South Carolina. I hope God showed up big in South Carolina. But I have been praying over his life. And I said, and sir, if you want to, go to wodchurch.com. You will find Word of Deliverance. You'll find our podcast. Listen to it and ask God to make himself real to you. He said, I'm going to do that. So Tom, if you're listening, I hope you are encountering Jesus today, because that's the God that I serve. That's the guy who stood up in the temple and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the brokenhearted, those who are in captivity, whatever that captivity may be, whether it's addiction, whether it's physical captivity, whatever has kept your mind captive. He was sent to preach the acceptable, the year of the Lord to you, the year of God's favor. Can I tell you this morning, you have God's favor. It took me a long time to realize and to grasp the fact that I had the favor of God, that I am his favorite. Come on, 3 of you in here shook your head with me. Do we have any of God's favorite in here this morning? We know that we have the favor of God in our life. And so he began to preach that message. And he sits down, and if he had just been quiet. But he said, today this is fulfilled in your ears. And they began to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute, we know who you are. And he said to them, he said, you'll say to me, do the miracles here that you've done in other places. He said, but I'll tell you, a prophet is without honor in his own town. He said, but there was a widow woman in Zarephath, and Elijah was sent to the widow woman in Zarephath. She was not an Israelite. She wasn't a scribe or a Pharisee. She wasn't a holy dude, but she was a woman who allowed God to prepare her heart. He said, go to Zarephath because I have prepared a widow woman to sustain you there. How many know God prepared the heart of a Gentile to feed the prophet Elijah? You never know where your blessing's coming from. But how many know God wanted to bless Elijah and a little widow woman who had a son, because God cares about the next generation. He cares about your generations. He cares about your barrel going empty and your cruise going dry. Hallelujah. And then he said there was a man named Naaman. And the prophet was sent to Naaman. And Naaman was healed of his leprosy. I mean, Naaman was not a Christian holy dude either. He was a Gentile. He was an outsider. But God sent a word and said, if you be obedient and go down to the Jordan, I will heal you of your spots. How many know sometimes it's in our obedience to the word of the Lord that God brings healing? Wait a minute. Everybody knows that the rivers of Farfar are way better than the rivers of Jordan. God, did you get your instructions mixed up? No, he did not. Because it was not about the water or the river. It was about the obedience of a man submitting to what God said and allowing God to work in him. And because of those two statements, they take Jesus out to what they call the brow of the hill and want to push him off the brow of the hill. But the scripture said, but he passed through the crowd and got away from them. I don't know if you've ever been to the brow or hill of the hill or not. but for people will persecute you, not for what you said, what they think you said. Amen. And so Jesus began to be the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. Where was I? What scripture was I on, Lisa? Help me. There we go. Was I on 12? Okay. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. That's not because they didn't have the ability to hear or see. It's because they refused to hear or see the Messiah, the one who was before them. For this cause, for this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. For the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places, the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, how many know Jesus is the stem of the root of Jesse? He lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received a seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word, understands it, he produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And that's it, right? Amen. Amen. So he begins to speak to them of the parables. We have covered all of them except good ground. I mean, all of us want to be the seed, want to be the good ground. The hearers, right? And so we've talked about this in depth. If you want to go back and catch the series, it's on the podcast. We've talked about this in depth, that Jesus is the seed that is sown. The scripture says that the seed is the word, right? It is the word of the kingdom. John tells us in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. The same with him was in the beginning. So Jesus was the word from the beginning. He is the seed that's being sowed. So many ways you can understand the parables, but I wanted you to understand it in this way. It's the seed of God being sown in your heart. It is Jesus. And he said some of it was sown on the wayside. It was the beaten path. It was the path that everybody took. It was the religious system of the day. Amen. And so it got plucked up by the fowls. Because how many know when Jesus would begin to speak, they would come along and say, but wait a minute, you can't do miracles on the Sabbath day. The man who created, hung the stars and the moon, the guy who knows that it's the Sabbath, the guy who understands time and season, they said, you can't do a miracle on the Sabbath day unless you're the person that needs the miracle. Yeah. Come on, if you are the person that needs the miracle, you don't care if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, because I will take it. If God wants to do a miracle, I don't care where, I don't care when, I don't care if he spits in the mud, I don't care if he sends the word, I don't care if he has somebody else lay hands on me, I don't care if he does it physically, emotionally, spiritually, with herbs, with medicine, however he wants to do it. If he wants to heal me, I want to be made whole, because you will enter into your Sabbath when you receive healing. Amen. Did you get that? And healing is not just physical. It is emotional. It is spiritual. There are so many ways that God heals us, body, soul, and spirit. And so they rejected, and they would pluck up the word that Jesus would say. And then there was a seed that was sown into stony ground. And when we talk about stony ground, we talk about the law. Jesus became the seed that was sown among those who were faithful to the law. I have followed the law, he says to the rich young ruler. I have followed the law all my life. What else must I do to be saved? The law says we should stone her, but what sayest thou? The law, the stone of the law, they used not to set the woman free. They used it to condemn her and to trick him into saying that he did not observe the law. How many know Jesus was not a lawbreaker? He came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. And what he does in the midst of them with the law and wanting to throw stones, he stoops down and with the very finger of creation, he begins to write in the dust and the dirt, and he begins to rewrite her story in the dust of her humanity. And he stands up to her opposers and her challengers and says, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." Did he say it was okay? No. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You cannot live life through a rear view mirror. That's why the rear view mirror is small and the windshield is big. Because you got to go forward. You can't go back, and you can try to live in your past all you want to, and then you start to sing the song, "Goodbye, goodbye to my past, goodbye to fear, goodbye to doubt, goodbye to shame, goodbye to bad choices, goodbye to my mess ups, and hello peace, hello joy." It's a new horizon. He begins to write your story all over again. See, your story is not written. You might have some chapters, but he is still writing your story if you are still breathing. Some of your stories might be a comedy. Some of them might be a drama. Some of them might be a horror show. Some of them might be a kid's novel. I don't know what your story is, but he's writing it. And if it's not good, then he's not done. Come on, somebody. If it's not good, he's not done. He is still writing the story of your life. And in that story comes with drama. It comes with humor. It comes with experiences. But I want to tell you that he can take the brokenness of your life and make you new again. The seed, the stone in sown into thorny ground talks about the curse. From the beginning, the curse of Adam, when they lost their identity, who they were, and when they were living in shame and they hid themselves, and God said to them, "Where are you?" And they said, "Well, we were naked and we were ashamed." And God's response to that wasn't, yep, you are. His response to it was, "Who told you that? Who do you give your ear to? Who do you give your ear to? Are they bringing shame? Are they bringing doubt? Are they bringing nakedness? Because if they are, you need to listen for the voice that comes in the cool of the day that says, 'Where are you, Adam? because I created you in my image, and I breathed into you my breath, and you became a living soul. Hallelujah. And he puts them out of the garden, not to keep them out of the garden. The scripture says he puts them out of the garden to keep the way to the tree of life, so that there's always an access back into the paradise of God, so that the thief who hangs on the cross by Jesus, who has the thorns and thistles on his head, and when one mocks and says, if you're God, get us down. You know, that's the voice of the enemy, the one that came to Jesus in the wilderness and said, if you be God, turn these stones into bread. I mean, no, Jesus didn't listen to that voice. But there was a thief on the other side said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. Wait a minute, sir, have you paid your tithes? Wait a minute, sir, have you been faithful to Sunday school? Are you living without shame? Have you broken any rules? Do you live by the Ten Commandments? Have you been sanctified? Have you been baptized? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Now, I believe in all of those things. I believe in the virtues of that. But how many know that the ticket to get into heaven is, Lord, remember me. Yes. To remember something means, Lord, put me back together. Restore me. Restore fallen man back, because Jesus was the entrance and the access into paradise. Because there was an angels and flaming swords that kept the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. When Abraham takes Isaac to the mountain and he says, take your son, your only son, and offer him a sacrifice. Abraham said, more just don't even make sense. He didn't say that. That was a message version of that. But I'm sure he's thinking it. This don't even make sense, because you promised me my seed would be the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven, and it doesn't line up with what I thought. But he takes him up the mountain. He tells the servants, he said, stay here. And he said, I and the lad will come again to you. I mean, no, that's faith. He gets to the top of the mountain, and when Abraham is about to take the knife and sacrifice the son on the altar, he said, stop, because now I have seen your obedience, your faith. And he looks over and he sees a ram caught in a thicket. He said to the son, he said, Dad, I see the fire. I see the wood. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, son, God is going to provide himself. I want to tell some of you this morning, God is going to provide himself. And he does, on a cross called Calvary, a ram who was wrapped in thorns and thistles became the sacrifice in the place of Isaac so that we could have redemptive life. Yeah. And then he said, some seed fell into good ground. Do I have any good ground in here this morning? Come on, all of you are good ground. Hallelujah. And he said that seed, it got into good ground and it began to bring forth 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold, and it began to produce a harvest. I want to tell you, when you allow the seed of God to grow in your heart, there's a whole lot of things that would want to snag it out of there. Doubt, fear, all those things we talked about. But when the seed of God begins to grow in your heart, when Jesus becomes center of your life, he begins to produce fruit in you, and that fruit might remain. Hallelujah. It is the work of the cross of Jesus that causes you to produce life. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith. Against such, the law has nothing to do with. It's kingdom mentality, kingdom mindset. Oh, but Pastor Lisa, What about the little varmints? What about the insects? What about the drought? What about? I mean, you know, there is some responsibility to the seed that is sown into your heart. If you plant the seed, I mean, you got to stir up the ground. You have to have a place for it to take root. And then once it takes root, guess what it needs? It needs some rain. It needs the flow of the Holy Spirit. And then you got to fertilize it, because we add the word in there. And the word is life, and it brings life. And we got the word that fertilizes the seed. And then there's the insects, right? Or the deer in the Irish Spring. That you have to guard what's there. I mean, sometimes you got to guard your heart. I guard my heart against a lot of things. There's a whole lot of stuff that I don't let pass through the gates of my eyes, my ears, or my mouth. I'll let you gauge that for yourself. I don't watch scary movies. I'm a big chicken. The only ghost in my house is the Holy Ghost. If that's you, that might not be one of those things. But how many know there's some negativity? I don't let it pass through the gates as much as I can. Doubt, fear, all of those things. Good ground. I mean, you got to keep the insects and those that would devour the seed away. You got to guard it. Guard your heart. And allow God to bring forth fruit. And when it comes to maturity, amen, then you harvest it, and then you share it with your neighbors. Yes. Amen? The seed of God, the power of God in your life, you think, well, I don't know. Faith is like a grain of a mustard seed. He said he gave to everybody the measure of faith. And you think, well, my seed is not as good as yours, or my faith is not as good. Oh, yes, it is. But what you fertilize, what you allow God to work in, when you allow him to culture you, how many have had some culturing in your life? Yeah. We think that discipline is a bad thing. Discipline is not a bad thing. Amen. Whom he loves, he chastens. Why? So that you will produce what he has desired from you. How many know pruning seems harsh? But yet it brings a bounty of productivity and harvest and goodness in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk probably next week about the 30, 60, and 100-fold part of that. Just one thought of how that goes. But I want you to go ahead and stand on your feet with me this morning. Jesus is the seed. He's sown into the good ground of our hearts, of our life. What you fertilize, what you allow to work in you throughout the week determines the fruit that you bear. How many know he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you disconnect yourself from me, you cannot bear fruit. I don't disconnect myself from you. Because his word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So when you think you're forsaken, that's not in the scriptures. When you think he's left you behind, he doesn't leave anybody behind. He goes after, leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Because that's how much he cares about you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. The good seed of the kingdom, good ground, are those who hear it and allow it to produce fruit in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. As Beth is singing this morning, if you have never allowed the seed of God to be planted in your heart, if you've never encountered salvation or encountered Jesus and you want that this morning, we would love nothing better than to pray with you to receive the life of God. Because I don't live out of my own life anymore. I live out of the life of Christ in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I and my Father will come. We'll take up our abode in you. Hallelujah. How many know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are a temple this morning. You are a mansion. You are the dwelling place of the Most High God. Hallelujah. He told David, he said, I didn't ask you to build me a house. You wanted to build me a house. I never asked you to build me a house, because I will never build a house on blood and war. But I will build my house, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you're in here this morning and you need prayer, if you're online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today is the day to encounter Him. Hallelujah.